Moncton, welcome to another episode of the Moncton Wildcast podcast, and in fact, a special Halloween episode of the Moncton Wildcast podcast. As always, I am Adam, your host, and I'm here with my two co-hosts, Mr. Jeremy Boucher.
I forgot to brush my teeth today.
And welcome back, Mr. Chris Dobson.
Yay!
Boo. That was my attempt at ghosting to scare you on Halloween.
So it is Halloween, like I said. What are your favorite Halloween candies?
My favorite would be candy corn.
What? What?
Absolutely delicious.
Oh my goodness, you are foolish.
Dobson?
I'm so rattled by candy corn, I don't even know what to say right now. I would have to go favorite candy. Favorite Halloween candy? No-brainer. Pocket-sized Snickers bars. They're absolutely delightful.
I like it. Mine are Rockets. Little square or little circular pieces of sugar.
Fun fact, when I was a child, I used to crush Rockets and put them up my nose.
Funner fact.
I do that now as an adult, he says. Yeah.
I also did that. So, worst Halloween candy. Mine is crunchy. Little gold pieces of styrofoam wrapped in chocolate. Blech.
Plain chips.
What?
Just get out of here, plain
chips. What the hell is wrong with you? Sorry for the language, but I don't understand. So let me get this straight. You hate plain chips, and your favorite thing is what again?
Candy corn.
Oh my goodness, you're foolish. You're foolish. Even... I will say this, though, before I get into my worst thing, and I'm going to, you know, it's not a stick tap of the week, Jeremy, but I got to give you props. This man right here, folks, has the most adorable little girl I've ever seen in my entire life.
Absolutely.
She showed up at my house tonight dressed up as Marshall from Paw Patrol, and she was just killing it. We had a blast. Either way, man, kudos to you and Megan both. Beautiful little girl.
I don't know how she's mine.
Neither do we.
Not yours.
No, she was walked into my house like she owned it. Oh, you have a kitty. Oh, you have a bunny. Oh, I'll take all your candy. It was adorable. It like literally, that's what it was. It was awesome. Your worst candy?
And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this, that individually orange Halloween wrapped generic, I think they called them Kisses, whatever they were. Not like Hershey's Kisses, but like just pure trash in a package is all it is. It's just garbage. I hate it. It was disgusting.
Well, hopefully you guys didn't get any of those worst candies and, you know. But a lot's happened since 2 weeks ago when you were here, but since last week.
Great episode last week, boys. That was a lot of fun. I wish I could have been here. It was, I enjoyed listening to it on the road.
Yeah, we thank Seitz and McKenna for being on last week. Kavanoff was named to Team Q for Russia. Or I guess Team Russia for the Q series. We're not really surprised by that, are we?
Considering he wasn't named when the roster first came out, I think that kind of really threw us off a little bit, but good on him to get the call.
As this season has progressed, and I think we've alluded to it quite a bit, he has only gotten better and better and better. He has finally earned that spot, rightfully so. The problem with that series, though, too, is you got to remember, there's only two roster spots usually available for these things as they float through this country, right? Like, they have their team in place, and every time they go into each individual league, they add a player or two,
right,
just to kind of complete the roster and make it fun for everybody. But at the end of the day, he absolutely deserves to be there. He's an unbelievable talent. Moncton's very lucky to have him right now.
Those are the only games that night, right? When Russia plays the Q, there's no other Q game.
Correct.
Is there, right? It's not like...
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, so that'll be November 13th at the Palais de Sport Leopold Drolet.
Nailed it.
And Sherbrooke. And then two nights later, the 15th, at the Saint-Marcel-Dion.
Nailed it even. Nailed it times
Home
two.
Home of the Poutine, by the way.
Times two.
You're,
nailed it.
You're good at this. So, as well, Q Team of the Week came out. Peltz was on there for forward. No real surprise. Defensively, the Swiss sniper.
Bobby Orr.
Was on there. Simon Lacoute.
Simon Lacoute, I will say this. If you look at his stats currently today, he has already scored two more goals this season than he has in his last two seasons.
Wow.
He has scored three goals a season for the last 2 years, and he's got five goals already to start this season. He's almost, I think he's 9 points off from totaling his entire offensive output from last year. I think he had 21 points last year and 22 points the year before.
21 in his rookie season, 22 last year.
So I flipped the years. Yeah, yeah. So, and he's got 12 now so far.
Right now.
Yeah,
he's
absolutely. He is exceeding expectations to me right now. And, you know, the fact that he's playing the hockey, and again, we've given him a lot of kudos on this show, and I'll be the first guy to eat my words when I say it. This is the guy I've been waiting to see. Everyone talked about his foot speed and his ability. He's doing a great job. No surprise. He deserves to be on that blue line for the Q team of the week.
Rookie season, minus 43.
That's not fair. I think everybody was a minus 43 that year.
True. Last season, minus 31. In 15 games this season, he's a plus 7.
Got to be happy
you
with that.
You can just see the confidence when he picks that puck up the net. He wants to go end-to-end and make a play or make a pass, whatever. He doesn't want...
But it's all about his defensive pairing too, right? I mean, his partner is giving him the ability to allow him to do that. Yeah. I mean, his confidence is there. You see him shooting the puck. His one-timers on the power plays, things like that. Like, you can tell the confidence is there, and it's only going to get better this season. And again, this is the kid we've been waiting to see. This is the Simon Lecoultre we've been waiting to see. Seeing this kid here now is exactly why I'm like, okay, now it makes sense. I understand why Switzerland wanted him on the blue line in the World Juniors last year. It made sense.
I like it. So when we talk about guys having an impact, they finally put the line together of McKenna, Peltz, and Sear. And
unfortunately, that happened at the loss of Adam Capanelli because of an injury when that happened. But you're right. It did happen regardless.
And they've exploded. McKenna is leading the queue, 11 goals, 18 assists, 29 points. Peltz is fourth, 9, 16, 25. Sears, 10th. I mean, this is what we thought we were going to get all year long, right?
So I was looking at a few numbers the other day, and what I'll say is this. And if you guys go back, I'm trying to think here. When we first started, we talked about offense, and we talked about exactly, where they would be offensively, and the fact that Moncton could score with basically anybody in the league.
The expectations episode.
You got it.
Yeah.
At no point did I see Moncton as being, as of this point today, right now, October 31st, Moncton leads the QMJHL in goals for, period. They lead 76 goals in the season so far.
Yeah.
Offensively. Behind them, they've got Baycomo, who's got 73. Rowan Aranda's got 72.
It was an if. If they were all healthy, maybe they weren't going to lead the league in scoring, but if Sear was healthy, if McKinnon, like, if everything was healthy, this could be a dominant line. And they're clearly showing it now.
There's no way they're going to get broken up again.
I can't see it. But even on the flip side of that, guys, you know, take the offensive side of it. Look at the defensive side of the puck here. Their goals against right now, they're sitting at 48 goals against. They're like fifth or sixth in the league in goals against right now. This entire team is clicking. Lavallée as a backup is starting to get wins on the board. Look at their last...
We're going to talk about that in a little bit.
For sure. And you look at, you know, you look at their last 12 games now, 10-0-2.
Can't do anything wrong, almost.
No, and like, and again, this brings me up to my point where nothing infuriates me more, and Jeremy makes use of it every time we talk about it, is the absolute uselessness of the Canadian Hockey League top 10 standings.
Yeah.
Moncton is 10-0-2, the number one team in the queue, the number one goals for scored team in this league, and they move from 10 to 9? Are you kidding me?
And all the other three, Baycomo, Drummond, Rennaranda, and Halifax are 3, 4, 5.
Look, and that's not to take away from Rennaranda and Halifax. No. And let's be real, these things change week after week after week. But you can't tell me that Moncton goes 10-0-2 in their last 12, picks up points in the last 12, beating teams like Rimouski last night, and which we'll get into a little detail about Cape Breton in that game last night. You know, and they're still held back.
4 in a row since they were 10th.
It blows my mind. It blows my mind. Now, again, you look at their opponent, St. John, Bathurst.
I was just going to say.
You have to take that into consideration, but who cares?
But we didn't
wins or win. Absolutely. You don't like it?
Yeah.
Blame someone who makes the schedule. Either way, I think Moncton got the raw deal on that, but that's why I don't like these standings. I think it's a popularity contest, and I think it's foolish.
A win Sunday in Halifax, and they will jump up next week. They'll go from 9 probably to the 5 or 6 spot.
Without a doubt.
And Halifax will fall below, or they'll still be ahead of us?
Well, Halifax will probably move to 6.
It'll be, right? Like, whoever wins that game will be 5, and whoever loses will be 6.
Look, what I'll say is this, and this is obviously non-Wildcat related, but nothing made me happier than watching Halifax fire up their barn for their home opener and losing.
They stunk up the place. I have never seen... It's been a while since I've seen the Halifax Mooseheads play a game that bad. Cape Breton absolutely dominated them.
From beginning to end. The entire game. Like, I saw this whole thing take place, and I couldn't believe it. You can't get up for your home opener?
When you've been on the road for a month and a bit.
Now, the bad news for that is, if you don't think for 2 seconds, they're coming gunning for Moncton on Sunday. But Moncton will be able to weather the storm.
Yeah.
I bet one of my legs on it that they're willing to play this game. It'll be a tight game one way or another.
It'll be fun. So you alluded to it, 10-0-2. Unbelievable. They've won 4 in a row. So let's recap those games quickly. It was Thursday. It was a 5-2 win over St. John. Friday, it was a 4-3 shootout win over the Titan. Sunday was a win over the Titan by a touchdown. And then last night, over the Eagles, 4-3. What jumps out to you guys on those four other than me stuttering through that?
I'm going to start on Thursday. It's been said millions of times, but I just can't get over how smart of a hockey player Jacob Peltier is. So the first goal that Moncton scores, McKenna and Sear are battling for the puck in the corner. Peltier is waiting in the slot. Nothing's happening in the corner, so Peltier goes and helps them out in the corner. Who comes out with the puck? Jacob Peltier. What's he do to it? Puts it to the point to Sylvest. At that point, Sear and McKenna are going in the net. Sylvest, wrist shot from the point, deflected in by Sear. That play doesn't happen unless Peltier leaves the slot and goes in the corner to get the puck.
Yeah.
But that game, in the game against Bathurst on Friday night, sluggish starts. But they totally redeemed themselves on Sunday and Tuesday with their starts.
Yeah, those were ugly wins.
I will say this, and that is, I'm not going to knock Moncton Friday night just because a lot of people have already done that. They came away with the 2 points Friday night in Bathurst. What I will do is I'll give props to Bathurst. And I don't like to do it that way. But at the end of the day, you've got a red hot team like the Moncton Wildcats coming into your barn. You know this season's not going to be the be all end all. Grammett Bauer, you know, look, Noah Dobson opens the scoring of that game. And you're like, oh, here we go. He is unbelievable.
Like, and to see him again unbelievable. Live. You just forget how good he is, but anyways.
But yeah, so then at that point, I mean, you look at the way everything took place, and of course, a scary situation. You know, there was an incident with Dylan Seitz early in the first as well that, you know, caused a lot of frustration. But at the same time, I've looked at it over and over and again, and we're not going to beat a dead horse here. I mean, it is what it is. It was unfortunate. You know, there was no suspension. Everything was fine. He played again.
Yeah.
That was a tough, you know, as soon as that game ended, you get back on the bus and you make your way back home. You go, okay, phew. There's going to be a couple games like that this year. You know, you're happy, you take the 2 points. You don't even need to talk about it. It's like, okay, where the breakdowns come in, and then whatever happened, we saw what happened. Yeah. Sunday rolls around, Bathurst rolls back into town, and like you alluded to, touchdown.
Yeah.
And they made sure that there was absolutely no mistake.
Those first, like the Moncton St. John and that first Bathurst game, how much does that actually help this team in the midst of going 10-0-2 where they almost can't do anything wrong to have that? Like, when Bathurst scored late, the fact that they didn't give up last year, that would have been a Bathurst win in overtime, right?
Yeah, and last year they had the best team in the country.
Yeah, no, you know what I mean?
Okay.
No, not for them, for our
right.
Side.
Right, yeah.
Up a late goal like that, that would have been, like, that has to be what you need in the midst of a 10-0-2.
That's where your leaders need to step in and settle everybody down.
Yeah.
Right? And I mean, you know, you hear that conversation. You guys brought it up last week. You talked about, you know, Jerry McKenna made it very clear when you guys had asked him the question about, you know, the article that came out saying after in between the periods, Rums didn't come on in. He didn't say anything. Let his leaders do the talking. Well, that's the reason you look at this team. And again, we've been saying it for the last few weeks, and you brought it up last week as well, Adam, saying how tight this team is on and off the ice. And it's a brotherhood like I've never seen. So if one guy's down, everyone's fired up. You know what I mean? You win as a team, you lose as a team. And right now, forget those three games, because the game I do want to talk to you guys about is that Cape Breton game that took place last night, because they came out flying in the first. They looked unbelievable. It looked like they caught Cape Breton off guard, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think Cape Breton was surprised and shocked.
Kind of thought they were going to get the same team they beat.
right.
a month ago, right?
Right. Because, I mean, you got to remember, that was the last regular season, like right. the regular time loss that Moncton's had. Now, the last 5 minutes of the third period last night was a stressful 5 minutes for all Wildcat fans watching and listening to that game. But they weathered the storm. Three or four times I was hoping someone would bury the empty net goal just to put that cushion in there.
Yeah.
But kudos to Cape Breton for just pouring it on, and they just couldn't buy a goal. And, you know, at the end of the day, time was the enemy of the Cape Breton Screaming Eagles last night. So again, Moncton came out flying. They weathered the storm. Everything was good. Scored a lot of goals quick. Cape Breton just went to show you how good they actually are.
Yeah. And that win last night in Cape Breton. Obviously, you guys saw the stat from our unofficial Wildcast statistician, David McKnight.
Oh, that was a good stat.
Moncton's last win in Cape Breton was January the 5th, 2016. 10 straight losses. So it's good to get that off the bat.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And then you saw Dylan Seitz. Obviously, he'd gripping the stick a little bit too tight lately, but you saw him get that shorthanded breakaway goal and do the monkey off the back celebration.
But everything that led to that goal, too, was unreal. You know, it was a great move at the blue line, great puck movement at the blue line to chip it past the defender and make that breakout happen, too. I could not have been happier for a guy. I mean, Dylan needed that. He started the season super hot offensively, you know, then it gets buried into that same role he had. And again, he does all the small things right. You know, again, one of my favorite Wildcats on this roster.
Yeah.
I mean, anytime there's a tough matchup for him, he's usually the guy on it. I.e. Alex Lafreniere.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then you come on in against Cape Breton and he chips one across and scores that sweet breakaway goal. Kudos to you, Dylan. Fantastic.
So we're looking back. Now we look forward. Valdor, Halifax, Friday, Sunday. Who are your guys? Like, I want to talk about the goaltending. I don't want to say it's a goaltending controversy because it's not.
It's not a controversy.
No. But who do you think starts Friday against Valdor?
I'm going with Lavallee. That is my... I mean, again, it doesn't matter where you go. I mean, if you're going Valdor now, again, Valdor... You don't know what Valdor team you're going to get,
yeah.
Right? They're very capable of winning games, as they've proven to Rouyn-Noranda. They can win. That being said, if you want to give one of... I guess at this point, I don't know. I don't think you're going to go into Halifax, into Scotiabank Center, and give them Lavallee. I really don't.
And I do. Okay. And I'll tell you why.
I would love to hear the reason.
He's earned it. He's won four of his, like, the last four starts. And I know they were against St. John, Bathurst, Valdor, Schwinnigan, and then Cape Breton was his last loss. They weren't against the toughest competition, and I get that. But he's won four in a row. So I think if you go with LeClaire on Friday, Lavallee in Halifax on Sunday, that sets you up the next weekend to go LeClaire, Lavallee, LeClaire. And I just think four in a row, he's playing great. And I know you want to shelter a 16-year-old goalie, and I said that you should early on in our shows. But let's see what he's got. The team's on a roll. I don't want to guarantee it because you never know what we're going to get with Valdor. But if they win that game, they haven't lost in regulation in a month.
So let's look at Lavallee's numbers after that first game of the year. His goals against, we'll start there. October 2nd, goals against, 5, save percentage, .898.
Yep.
Since that night, on the 7th, goals against 1. 13th, goals against 2. 20th, goals against 2. 26th, goals against 2.77. So those are his four in a row. He's gone from a .898 to a .955, .949, then he had a .895, but then back up to a .906. Right now on this season, as a 16-year-old goaltender in 5 games, he's got a goals against of a 2.56 and a save percentage of a .919. You couldn't ask for more from a 16-year-old goaltender right now. You know,
And I get the Denoyers at the U17. We don't know about McDonald's status, so they're a little bit shorthanded. But like I said just a couple minutes ago, it's almost like they can't do anything wrong. So put the kid's feet in the fire against Halifax. And let's see what he's got. Because the way I set it up, if they go to Halifax and they lose that one, like say they lose 6-3 or whatever, so he lets in 6 goals, he comes back and plays Bathurst the following week to kind of get the ship righted again, right?
I'll tell you, what I mean? My only rebuttal to that is this. And you know, it's a very, you know what? Your point and reasoning is fantastic. My thought process is this. As of we are recording this episode right now, Moncton is currently sitting first in the QMJHL.
Right.
You need to treat this Halifax game like a must win. You're not going to start. You don't want to slide here. Now, is Lavallée capable of taking that game? Absolutely. We've got two outstanding goaltenders here. But I think right now, you've got a shot. Again, and you could get that same Val-d'Or team that beat Rouyn-Noranda. And either way, you're still in up tough. Like, we don't have an easy matchup coming up here with Val-d'Or. And so at that point, you want to give LeClaire a night off. He is your bona fide starter. You're going against a Memorial Cup hosting Halifax Mooseheads. If you're going to give Lavallée a start, and truth be told is, I wouldn't even be that rattled if they gave LeClaire both starts. I wouldn't have a problem with that. No. But that being said, my opinion, that's my only reasoning behind it. But Adam, all great points, man. They're fantastic. Either goaltender could get the nod either night.
It's a good problem to have.
It's a great problem to have.
I wouldn't be against Lavallée starting against Halifax. I wouldn't start him in Halifax. I would start him in Moncton against Halifax. Just because Halifax fans, they are passionate.
They're ruthless.
They will,
ruthless.
Right.
They will attack. They will know he's a 16-year-old goaltender. They will do anything and everything to get under his skin.
The only team allowed
the best feet to the fire. Let's see what you've got riding this hot.
I'll tell you what. If you were a 16-year-old kid now, is that the hostile environment you'd want to be in? And anyway, look, this kid might thrive on it. Who knows?
Exactly.
I mean, he's an unbelievable kid. But outside of Blainville, which is the loudest rink in the league, Halifax fans are a close second.
All right.
They will do anything.
Nothing's off limits in Halifax.
Oh, really?
Nothing.
Sweet. It was an interesting take when I started looking at the schedules, and so...
No more takes for Adam.
Oh.
No, they were all great points, Adam. Go ahead.
Undefeated in six. This team, like we've said many times, number one team in the queue, outscoring everyone.
Number nine team in the country.
Yeah, sure. What does this mean moving forward with the trade deadline being a month away-ish?
2 months away.
When is it?
Christmas? It opens at Christmas.
Oh, okay. So 2 months away.
And then there's like a trade freeze for anybody away at the World Juniors.
do we load? Like, my take is we don't load up selling the farm.
So... There was a good question, and I think Jeremy brought it up. The question came from the board, I believe.
That's right.
Yep. From the message board. The name
of Pong. He gave us five suggestions, and I promised we'd cover all five in the next 5 weeks. So this would be the first one.
So the first one was an absolute concrete reason as to why not to build or go for it this year. Like, what was the question?
The exact question.
Or whatever the statement was.
I'm going to have to find it here.
State your case as why they should not
go basically all in. Go all, yeah. In a nutshell, without quoting them, I mean, we'll send you the quiet. But that's what it is. Build a case so that Moncton does not go all in this year. I'm going to start quickly by saying they don't have to. You know, we're currently sitting first overall in the league. And remember, teams like Rimouski, teams like Rouyn-Noranda, teams like Halifax, they're not done. No. They're going to continue to add. Now, the only advantage they have is that because the Memorial Cup is in the queue this year in Halifax, picks that would before normally get you a third or a fourth round pick for it will now upgrade to a second round pick. These are the types of things. Does Moncton have any assets for sure? I mean, that's the big question. And that's why hockey's so tough, because at the end of the day, it's a business. And I mean, you look at the trade deadline and you develop these relationships with the players, not even just in Moncton, but all over the place. And, you know, fans take this stuff very serious, very passionate, but these players also want to win. When you have a brotherhood like you have currently sitting in Moncton right now, you know, trade deadline time, it can be a little nerve-wracking. They look great, you know. The only thing I would suggest, if Moncton's even thinking about making some moves, tamper a little bit, tweak a little bit, build for next year and the year after. If you look at the talent we currently have on our roster, you know, from a youth perspective, Pelche with an extra year under his belt. Desnoyers with an extra year under his belt. You've still got Kingsbury Fournier. Jordan Spence. You know, TDJ.
Have enough.
The list goes on and on and on. And you look at who we could potentially have as 20s next year. Like, our team will be stacked. You know, so you have that option without selling the farm. and that first round pick of Akadi Bathurst, which will be a lottery pick. You can only get better if you're going to move that lottery pick. And again, I'm glad I'm not Richie Tebow, because it's not going to be easy. Because, I mean, we're in a situation where if you're first overall in the league, there's going to be that hankering. There's going to be a taste with two teams from the queue make it to the Mem Cup this year. What do you do? And at the end of the day, we hold all the cards.
Yeah. If we're going to move that first, it has to be for one of two players in this league, does it not? They're both defensemen. And they're both in our division.
If you're gonna move that first round pick, and this is a huge if, and I am begging we don't move this first round pick. Not right now. It would have to be a stud defenseman.
Yeah.
And you're right.
And with the new playoff system, this is the year that, like, usually when it's in your league, you just have to get to the final. But now...
No. You have to get to the final
against that team.
As long as Halifax is also in the final.
Yeah, okay, so that's what I meant.
Right.
Now, we have to go through Halifax because we're going to play in the conference format instead of the 1 versus 16 where we could avoid them. They get to the final, we get to the final, right? It's one of those things now.
Look, I think we've alluded to the fact that Moncton can score goals.
Mm-hmm.
Offensively, there is no better team in the league. And remember, there's still a very huge offensive sniper sitting on the sideline right now.
Yep.
Anderson McDonald's chomping at the bit to get in this lineup right now.
Why wouldn't you?
I mean, exactly. Look at the sex that's happening. Don't mess with what's not broken. Don't mess with it.
No.
Let it go. But again, bought into Rum's system. The D's playing well. You know, everyone looks good. The players love each other. You couldn't ask for a better environment right now.
That's my only... If you're going to make moves, that's my only thing is add... depth defenseman, because you can never have enough. And if we have a couple injuries on that back end, that's the only thing I would add without going after the big names that are out there.
One of my favorite moves that Moncton has made in the last while was the acquisition of Ozzie King. I love Ozzie King. He looks fantastic. You know, you bring a guy like him into like anyways, I know Jeremy, you got a lot to say. I'm sorry, buddy. There. Yeah, I know. He's letting us go, man, and I appreciate it. And I don't want to take this thing over, buddy. I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry, bud. Go ahead.
No, not at all. Do I think Moncton should go for it this year? No, and you guys have brought up the points. There's the depth in this organization is more... There's been more depth in this organization this year than there's been than for as long as I can remember. You look at... There has to be a three-year plan. If you look at your depth, you look at a three-year plan, you slot your prospects in, and you say, where are these players going to be in 3 years? You don't want to get rid of these kids. Like, mm-hmm. They're proven that they can play in this league. You want to keep them in your lineup. As Chris mentioned, I'm not against making a addition on the blue line. Now, the addition on the blue line, actually, no, it was you, Adam, that mentioned that.
I appreciate you trying to give me credit, though.
Sorry, my bad. It would have to be a player that's not a rental. You're not going to go
in, exactly.
You're not going to go and acquire a 19-year-old defenseman that's got an NHL deal who could very well play in the AHL next year. You want someone who's going to be on your blue line next year.
Look, if you're going to do this, if by the off chance, and again, as fans, if you're going to try to win this year, mm-hmm. all I will say is, you better win it all. You better guarantee yourself a Memorial Cup in Moncton. That's what I'm saying. Like if the offense is too potent, everything's looking so great, every team is looking really good. And again, I apologize to Jeremy. I'm so fired up for cutting him off again. if you're going to do it, you better go all in and make it happen. So I don't want them to do it because they don't have to. Sorry, Jeremy, go ahead.
No, it's fine. And you mentioned it, Chris. Like, there's no reason to go in right now. You've got a team who could easily make it to the semifinals, but there's just too many teams who are going for it this year.
There's what, five probably?
Five, maybe more. Like that's to be determined, and that will be determined over the Christmas trading deadline. But you know, there's the
two, right? Over the next 2 months as we get closer to it.
But you know who the teams are: Baie-Comeau, Rouyn-Noranda, Halifax, Drummondville, Rimouski. Charlottetown's a wild card because they have P.O. Joseph.
You just never know.
They're kind of like we are.
Exactly. Like, he's a player who...
Only not as good.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, hockey, okay.
Jim Holton could easily say, yeah, we see you as a huge asset. Let's get rid of you. But he's also a premier defenseman in this league. Mm-hmm. He can do some serious damage. They went out last year and they got Derek Gentile. They got Cam Askew. And what did they do?
Go to game 7 of the semifinal.
Right.
Yeah.
4-game upset over Halifax. No, I don't think anybody saw that coming. So Charlottetown's a wild card for me. Like right now, they're sitting 21 points. That's only 5 points behind Moncton. Right? They're 5 points out of first overall.
Did they give up a lot to get those players at the deadline last year? Because I'm like, maybe that's just what we need to add. A couple players, and once you get into the dance, anything can happen, right? I mean, sometimes the best trade you make is the one you don't make, and you don't want to tamper with this roster too much, whether it be by addition or subtraction, whatever it is. But that's the model that I would look at. Add a couple of players without selling the farm. I don't know what they sold last year.
If I recall, I think the Derek Gentile trade was, there was players involved too. I think Gregor McLeod went to Quebec. Obviously picks as well. Can't exactly remember the Cam Askew trade. But there's so many teams that could just suddenly say, we're going all in as well. Chicoutimi, for example. They have the hottest goaltender in the league. I think his GAA is under 2 right now. Mm-hmm. And if he's riding that in 2 months' time, they're likely going to blow it up as well. You just never know. That's the great thing about having the Memorial Cup being hosted in your league. You never know who's going to want to contend. You never know who's going to sell.
Great as we are right now, a couple injuries, and we lose 10 in a row before that deadline, and all of a sudden we become sellers, right?
Like, where's the wood so I can knock on it right now?
The next month and a half is huge. Yeah, and yeah. I mean, and I just want to go back. You talked about that Charlottetown Islanders team last year. Don't forget, they got Brett Budgell to report.
Right.
Right? I mean, everything they did, Holton did an unbelievable job there. And you're starting to see that same dynamic. The players wanted to go there. The players wanted to play. Well, that's what we've got in Moncton right now. We've got a brand new building in the Avenir Center. You see the success. You see all the teams. You see everything that's going on right now. Moncton is the hottest team in the queue right now. But the question is do you look at that? People have been talking about the schedule. They're like, oh, well, the schedule's been a little light for them. I think they played Bathurst and St. John 7 times already. I'm like, who cares?
We didn't make it.
Who cares? Anyways, I don't know. I think they're all very solid cases, solid argument, boys. I mean, it's again, I don't want to see it. I don't think we have to. I think that we can compete right now with the team we currently have on ice. If LeClaire and Lavallée keep splitting these starts and everything's good, I mean, come playoff time, a hot goaltender could win you a President's Cup. Mm-hmm. Right? So, you know.
A hot goaltender took Charlottetown all the way to Game 7. Matty Welsh, he was really good.
He's unbelievable. But again, he's not just a hot goaltender. He's unreal goaltender.
You know what I mean? He's right. On a really good roll, and we've seen it when you get on a roll.
When your team is clicking and firing on all cylinders, it doesn't matter what is going on. When you're playing for each other, you find a way to win.
Exactly.
And that's what's going on in Moncton right now.
Absolutely.
Don't
apologize. Fight.
People will say that we've had an easy schedule so far.
Let them.
Right? The month of November will be the true story.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, there's games against Halifax. There's games against Charlottetown. There's 2 games against Chicoutimi. We got Baie-Comeau, Quebec, Drummondville. It's a big month. And the month of November will be the deciding factor. Because once December rolls around, you might have 6 games before the Christmas break. I don't know the exact schedule.
Right.
But
7.
7 games.
7, yeah.
Like, if I had my way, none of these guys on this roster would leave this roster at Christmas time.
Right.
None of them.
No.
I love every one of them. Everybody brings something else to this team right now.
That Baie-Comeau, Chicoutimi, Quebec, what's that road trip like compared to the other Quebec road trip we just did?
It'll be a tough road trip.
Why do you want to get out of the way?
Just because of the traveling distance. It's a very lagging trip to have to go through that trip, right? I mean, there's a lot of miles put on there.
If they manage to, I know there's a ferry that can get you to Baie-Comeau.
Right.
If that's obviously running, that literally cuts 8 hours off your driving schedule, gets the boys off the bus, stretch their legs.
Yep.
Right. So if they can get on the ferry, that's big.
Huge.
Oh, okay. But there's been teams who have had to go around and it's affected their performance.
That's a long bus ride.
It is. Yeah. Like, you think Bay Como, they're in the East, they're in the Eastern Conference with us, right? Is that what it's called? Eastern Conference?
Yeah. Let me confirm that with you.
Yeah, Eastern Conference.
So I think it's maybe a 10 hours on the bus if the ferry's open. But if you actually go around, like, you have to go south and then back up, it's tough.
You should see him moving his hands, folks. He's navigating around the entire province right now.
It was nice.
He is navigating around the province.
It was smooth. Yeah. So we love this team. Dobson, you're up. Who's your cat of the week?
Oh, man. So I've tried to – I've looked at a few different situations and scenarios. And what
you can't pick all of them.
I know, man. It's tough. And what I am going to go with, I'm going to go a little off the board here. Not an offensive juggernaut of late, but did get his first point in a Moncton Wildcat uniform. I'm going Kyle Foreman as my cat of the week. For two reasons. One, the boys chirped him last week when I wasn't here, when Kyle Foreman asked the question about what it's like to score. But the boys handled it right. And again, you know, he's got one assist on the season so far, got his first assist the other day. That's my cat of the week goes to Kyle Foreman. I can't wait to see exactly what he's going to continue to do and how he's going to continue to develop right now in this league. Great kid. Pop some pucks in the net. Get that monkey off your back. Sightsy, he'll show you how it's done.
I like it. Before you get to your stick tap of the week, like he did a couple weeks ago, I'm just going to borrow your, give an honorary stick tap.
Get out of here. Do
all
it.
All right. my honorary stick tap of the week is a friend of the show. We had some fun with him on the fan episode questions. We told him he's going to owe us some PEI potatoes if he's coming to the Avenir Center.
Promised him I'd buy him a pint when he gets here.
Yep. He had a YouTube show, Hockey Hat Guy on YouTube. He's now transitioning to join us in QMJHL podcasting, but this not with us. He's going to the Charlottetown Islanders. It's Hockey Hat Cast. It drops November 7th on Podbean. We want to wish him good luck, and we can't wait for the episode. You can follow him on Instagram, HockeyHatGuy74, and on Twitter, HockeyHatCast, for everything you want to know about Charlottetown. We're excited for him.
Absolutely, and don't forget, hold me to that. Uncle Dobber will get you a pint. He owes you one, buddy. Get you across the Confederation Bridge. It's bad enough you had to pay $43 or $48 to get here.
Their rink's worth it, though.
Oh, man.
Just leave your stick and flag.
I was kind of giving him a hard time because he was talking about $10 beers, and I was like, why would I even bother to do it? He's like, you have to pay $50 to get here and then spend $10 on beers. So
the only thing is just leave your flag at home because I don't know.
Nah, bring it with you. We're hostile. We'll love it. Nah, you can wipe your tears with it when you're on your way home.
Love it. Jeremy, your stick tap of the week.
Stick tap of the week is going to a gentleman who I've had the pleasure of partaking in a couple of bachelor parties with, a gentleman by the name of Sean Gillis. Now, a lot of people around the Maritime QMJHL media scene will know him as Mavs Gillis. Now, Mavs Gillis has been with Eastling TV covering the Screaming Eagles maybe the past 6 years. Just last weekend, Mr. Mavs Gillis had the opportunity to travel to Japan to announce for New Japan Wrestling. Mm. So, this has been a dream of his. He's a huge wrestling fan. If there's a message in here, folks, never give up on your dreams. You never know when there's going to be an opportunity that comes around that you just have to jump at. So, Mr. Mavs Gillis, this one's for you. Stick tap of the week.
Congratulations, brother, man. Well deserved.
That's awesome. And that's it for us. Another episode.
Adam's getting a little emotional here, boys. We have to shut this thing down. He's starting to wipe his tears.
I know.
Holy.
So we are doing Movember. This
66.66, repeating, of course, percent of us are doing Movember.
Yeah. Yeah. Just 2/3.
Chris.
I know. But it's cool. We'll I will have information on our social medias and we'll talk more about it next week.
And before I go, before we hang up the skates here, Adam, I want to give a big shout out.
What was that? Hang up the skates? That'll be used.
I got to give a big shout out to a huge fan of ours, Mel Cassidy. Absolutely love everything. Thank you so much for the love and support.
We love you, Mel.
It's been an absolute treat. Keep listening every week and keep sharing the good word.
As always, you can follow us on social medias, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, the Moncton Wildcast. Guys, have a good week, and we will see you next week.
Yay, hockey!
Boo.